The King's Sweetheart. Chapter 1-3. Victoria was sitting stunned on the dirty couch in her matchbox-size apartment. She just couldn't believe what just happened few seconds ago. Flashback started. Go to sleep, baby. I am massaging your head. Okay. Victoria said to her 11-year-old brother lovingly. But I want to play games a little more. Vincent whined and pouted his cute thin lips. She smiled gently and pecked on his little nose. I know you wanted to play. But you also need some sleep after taking this medicine. Vincy. Hey. Don't call me Vincy. It's too girly. He was a bit annoyed hearing his nickname given by his elder sister. I won't. If you listen to me and close your eyes like a good boy. Victoria replied playful. Fine. Guess I should listen to you. After all, I am giving you a real hard time. Like a burden. His last sentence was filled with helplessness and sadness. Vincent Hale. Don't you dare saying these nonsense further again. Victoria said angrily. You are not giving me any hard time and surely, you are not my burden. You are my brother. Understand? Vincent pursed his lips and nodded his head quickly. He wrapped his arms around her neck, hiding his head on her chest. He spoke slowly with his broken voice. I love you, Cece. You are the best sister anyone can get. Victoria felt a jolt of warmness inside her heart. She loves her little brother so much. Wrapping her arms around him, she held him tightly. I love you too, Vincent. You are the best little brother one could ever get. Tears rolled down from her eyes. Now sleep. Okay. I am massaging your head. She replied while fixing the quilt on him. Vincent nodded smiling while whipping the tears away. Okay. After putting him into sleep, Victoria sighed at the sight of the little kid. Her eyes became teary again. What a player destiny is. Isn't it? Otherwise, why would this innocent kid is suffering from the deadly disease? Blood cancer. He is in the second stage and doctor has suggested a chemotherapy and assured that it's curable. But the problem is, it's too costly and they doesn't have money for eating 3 times a day. Then where would she manage the money for therapy? Currently, Victoria is doing few numbers of odd jobs to collect money for her brother's treatment. Yet, it's not enough. It would not be a problem if their father was still alive. After their father's death, their stepmother vacant them away from the house, saying that she cannot waste all the fortunes to cure Vincent. It's been more than 5 months and somehow both brother and sister managed to fight with all the crisis. But now, it's looking like she is going to fail it. Ting tong ta, ting tong ta. Victoria jerked out from her thoughts hearing the doorbell. She looked at the watch. It's 8 p.m. at night. Who would come at this hour? Maybe the landlady. But didn't she beg for another week yesterday? Nervous. Victoria opened the door and she literally jumped in fear, seeing 4 men in front of her. All of them were expensively suited. But one has covered his face with hoodie. Why? Yes. She asked nervously. Miss Hale. The guy beside the hoodie man asked. Why? Yes. I am. But who are you? Well, we are here to meet you, miss. More precisely, to give you an offer. Can we get inside? The same man asked. There was a faint professional smile on his lips. Victoria was hesitating whether to let them in or not. The man might got the hint and again spoke. Don't worry, miss. We are harmless. Finally, she nodded and stepped aside. Please come in. And all 4 of them went inside. All of them were tall, over 6 feet and well-built. Her matchbox-size apartment looked much smaller in front of them. She felt suffocated. 2 men found some space on their own behind her grimy-looking couch and stand still like a robot. Clearly they are bodyguards. And the hoodie man was looking around her apartment along with the other one, who talked to her and seems kind of normal than others with him. However, the expression of his face was kind of awkward. Sure, he doesn't like the room at all. Well, gentlemen, we are poor and have only this. You have to adjust yourself here. Victoria shrugged while saying. The guy put a professional smile again and replied quickly, "Certainly, Miss Hale. We can understand. By the way, I am George Black," and he, pointing at the hoodie man, "is Mr. King, our boss. Basically, he has something for you." Victoria watched the man curiously. But, without his lips and chin, his whole face is covered with a huge hoodie he was wearing. "Okay. Please seat." She offered them to take a seat. Mr. King took a glance of the couch for a moment, as if fighting with himself to take a seat, and then finally he sat down like a king himself. George also seated on the edge of the couch beside him. Victoria grabbed a tool and placed it, maintaining a polite distance in front of them. "Please, go ahead. What do you have?" she said. Flashback continued. After a brief pause, the mysterious Mr. King finally spoke, "I suppose my assistant have already mentioned you about an offer, Miss Hale." His voice was gentle and mysterious like him. Not to mention sexy too. "Hem. He did in the presence of you, I guess," Victoria replied. "Hem. He did." He paused for a second and then again spoke, "I don't like to complicate things much. I am here to give you a marriage proposal. You have to marry me, and in exchange of that I will bear all your expenses." He leaned forward a little, "including your brother's medical fees and other expenses." Victoria stared at the man blankly, confused. Whether she heard right or something happened to her ears, she blinked and tried to speak, but couldn't able form any words at all. "Miss Hale," George called her. "You okay?" he asked politely. Yeah, I guess I am fine." Victoria finally found her voice. You want to marry me, and in exchange of that you will take care of me and my brother. Is that what you are saying?" Still fighting to digest the unethical words. "Hem." Mr. King only hummed. He seemed relaxed, as if handling some normal things. Victoria took a deep breath. "Okay." Suddenly, she realized that he have mentioned her brother. But he is a total stranger. Then how could he know? Her eyes widened and she looked at him in fear. "Ho, how did you know about my brother and our sufferings?" George smiled politely. "Well, miss, it's nothing surprising. You can say that we have done our homework. But why my? It's not that we have known each other from before. Then why suddenly you want to marry me?" "It's very easy, Miss Hale. You just have to accept my offer," Mr. King replied. "But how? How could I trust you? And why would I?" "Miss Hale, I know it's kind of unexpected for you, but I am sure you won't regret it. Especially when you need money for your brother." This time George spoke. "So, what do you think, Miss Hale?" George asked. I need some time to think. It's a very big decision to take." She managed to spoke those words with her racing heartbeats. "This is totally insane." Mr. King watched her contently and then finally nodded, "Fine. Take your time. But remember one thing, Miss Hale. Lots of women out there are waiting for this opportunity." "So," he said indifferently, clear about his sayings. "Yes, Mr. King, I understand. I will let you know by tomorrow morning," she replied. "Here is my card. Call me when you made your mind." He pointed towards the card his assistant placed on the table. And with it he stand up, covered his hidden face more with the same hoodie he was wearing before, and went out. Followed by three men, came with him. Flashback ended. Closing the door, Victoria leaned against on it, taking deep heavy breaths to consume lumps in her heart. She never have imagined this day before. Who are those men? Why he want to marry her? All is a mystery to her. "This man is dangerous. He knows everything about me. Don't know how, but he knows. Oh God, what will I do?" Pang to a sudden heavy sound startled her. Victoria jumped on her feet and quickly ran into the room. "Vincent!" she screamed and quickly went beside him. He was again shortened of breath. "It's one of the problem occurs when you have blood cancer. He was panting and trying to take heavy breaths. S. Is. I. He tried to spoke but couldn't because of the shortage of breath. Hey. Calm down. Everything would be fine, baby. She tried to calm him down and place the inhaler in his mouth while pumping it. After a minute or two, he finally calmed down and Victoria again coaxed him to sleep. She caressed his head lovingly. Tears were rolling down from her eyes. She has always been maintained her self-respects. Her ethics. She might starve but never begged or done any kind of works which can destroy her pride and self-respect. But, when it comes to Vincent, she felt totally helpless. Vincent, I owe you what you have done for me. I cannot forget ever. This time it's my turn. I promise to protect you, brother. Her voice was low but stern. She wiped her tears away. She has decided what she would do. Just have to wait till morning. Getting into the car, Alexander looked at the small building. He knows she would agree at some point. He just have to wait patiently. After all, when it comes to her brother, she can do anything, including marrying him. Mr. King, what will we do now? George said, looking back from the front seat. Nothing. Just wait till tomorrow. See, he said with his usual calm voice. Okay, sir. But what if she doesn't agree? George still was not convinced. She will. Alexander again said calmly. She has to. The last sentence he chanted in his mind. Let's go. He ordered and leaned back on the seat. The next morning, Victoria was sitting on the couch staring at the phone in her hand. She didn't know whether it's right or wrong. But, she has to do it at any cost. After all, her brother's life depends on it. She sent Vincent in school already. So, there should be no problem at all. Unless he falls sick again in the school. The school authority already know about his situation and hopefully nothing would happen. She took the car those men left her yesterday. This is the first time she looked at it closely. But, there was nothing much information. Only a name, Alexander King, and a number. Alexander King. She chanted the name. She felt it familiar. But, couldn't remember where she heard it. She again looked at it. That means Mr. King's full name is Alexander King. She murmured to herself. Taking a deep breath. She finally dialed the number displayed in the card. The phone started ringing. And after a few rings, the phone been picked up and a calm and gentle voice came from the other side. Hello. Victoria swallowed the lump in her throat. H. Hello. Can I speak to Mr. King? She asked nervously, though she already know it's him. Speaking. Alexander replied. He also knows who it is. Well. It's me, Victoria Hale. Mr. King. Yes. Miss Hale. He asked with the same tone. I just called you to inform that I agree with your offer. Mr. King. Can I meet with you? She asked. Hesitant. There was a brief pause before he spoke. Okay. I am sending my driver to pick you up. You don't have to do this, Mr. King. I can manage. Just send me the address. She replied. Again another moment of silence. Then he said, it's okay, Miss Hale. My man will pick you up. His voice was gentle but stern. It was obvious he would not agree with her. Moreover, she doesn't want him to give up on her because her stubbornness. So, she obliged with him. Oh. Okay. Mr. King. He hung up. Victoria stared at the phone for some time. Is it right what I am going to do? I don't have any idea. I just wish everything goes well. She murmured to herself. Almost half an hour later, there was a knock on the floor. Who is it? Victoria asked. Ma'am, I am the driver. Mr. King sent me. The man replied. Victoria opened the door and found a middle-aged man, dressed like a chauffeur, is standing in front of her. He bowed and said, good morning. Ma'am, I am John Lewis. I will drive you to Mr. King. He said with a polite but professional smile on his face. Victoria did not expect this kind of welcome. She was surprised with his behavior. His suit is much more expensive than her whole freaking apartment. Forget about her clothes. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Just call me Victoria. He smiled politely. Madam is so kind. But, I certainly wouldn't dare to do that. And call me Chauffeur Lewis, madam. Okay. Let's go. Dumbstruck with the reply, she somehow managed to spoke. Sure, madam. Please. He bowed again and led her to the car. Seeing the car, her eyes almost popped out from the socket in shock. It's not just a car. A freaking Rolls Royce were standing in front of her. Well, more precisely, money was standing in front of her. All the people were staring at the car and her. After all, this is a slum area and people live here are poor hard workers. In this area, people hardly saw any car. Forget about Rolls Royce. Suddenly, she regretted it. She regretted to agree with him for sending the car. It's an outrageous, embarrassing situation for her. Her ears turned red in abashment. And on the top of that, the chauffeur Lewis was much more forward. He opened the door for her. Please, madam. All the people were now watching at her with wide eyes. She quickly hopped into the car to avoid the awkwardness. After they left the area, Victoria finally relaxed and observed her surroundings. The car is so gorgeous from inside. She has seen Rolls-Royce from outside. This is the first time she is inside of this amazing car. Victoria always have some weakness over cars. She just love fancy and royal-looking cars. Half an hour later, after a smooth ride in the luxurious car, they finally reached at their destination. Chauffeur Lewis came out on her side and held the door open for her. We are here, madam. Victoria went out and her jaw almost hit on the floor. It's a damn mansion. That means he was not kidding with her. He actually have enough money to do whatever his mind says. Suddenly, she felt sad. Why some people have everything and some doesn't have anything? Isn't it too unfair to those people who has to work hard like and has to manage 3 times of meal a day? Well, maybe. God has decided to happen things the way it is. Madam, please go inside. Chauffeur Lewis said from behind. Yes. Won't you go? Victoria asked back. He smiled and shook his head. No, madam. This is my limit. You will find other people inside who will lead you to Mr. King. Saying, he got into the car again and drove away. Victoria hesitated for a moment and then finally stepped into the mansion. When she reached at the big posh entrance door of the mansion, the door opened and another middle-aged man appeared. He is wearing dress like a butler. He also bowed and spoke with a polite smile. Bonjour, Mademoiselle. Welcome to the King's Palace. I am Butler Adam Celeste. Please come inside. He said and moved aside to let her in. Though he did not have to because 10 people can go inside together. That's how big it is. But, she did not say anything. He has a heavy French accent and his greetings made sure that he is from France. Thank you, Mr. Celeste. Victoria thanked him politely. She is in total confusion with the welcomes she is getting. It's out of her imaginations. Oh my. Don't need to call me Mr. Celeste, dear. Just call me Uncle Celeste. Young master also called that. Let me take you to him. He is waiting for your arrival. He said and led her the way. Victoria blinked few times and then quickly follow him. They stepped into the house elevator. It was big enough to fit enough for more than 10 people easily. He pressed the 5th floor button and stood still. Few minutes later, they were standing in front of a luxurious oak door. Uncle Celeste knocked the door and said, young master, madam is here. After a second the same gentle but sexy voice came him. Let her in. Thanks for listening to the Bravanoval audiobook. Welcome to download the Bravanoval app. Read the novel The King's Sweetheart online and get the latest updates.